47. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. The Bible says this: Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you for this time now where your word is preached as truth. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart, Lord, to believe. Give us a mind to understand. And give us feet and hands and a mouth to obey your word. And change us. We'll be thankful and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a quick review. Because it's always good to kind of review, to be reminded. I often need to be reminded. Because as I often say, my forgettery works better than my memory. So far, we've learned the meaning of the church. And we need to kind of remember that today, that very first message, the meaning of the church. The church is a called out assembly. We are called out of the world unto God. And so that's the word church, a called out assembly. We've seen the church's conception. We've seen the birth of the church, which literally we just read in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, was its birth. We have seen the essential ingredients of the church. Verse 42, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. These four ingredients must be part of a local church, or it's not a true local church. We have seen the church's construction. We've seen that the chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus himself. We have seen the foundation of the church is the apostles and the prophets. And we are the building stones, the building blocks, the lively stones, the living stones that are constructing this building that is a habitation for God. We have seen the church identified as a building, a body, and a bride. And last week, we saw the mission of the church. And the mission of the church is to do all to the glory of God and to be obedient to the Great Commission. Everything we do here must be to the glory of God. And we also must be obedient to the Great Commission. To go and make disciples of men. So, when we think today of the title of the message, membership in the local church, there have always been those who would say, there's no command in the Bible that says, thou shalt join the church. And that's true. There is no command that says, thou shalt join the church. So therefore, those people say, I don't see the need to officially join. But I would say, as we'll see today, there are many principles and many things that point to the fact that membership into the church is important. Some of these folks who speak about the fact that they don't need to join the church, some of these folks are Christian mavericks, and to be a maverick is to be independently minded. And friends, we are not to be independently minded when it comes to our faith. Now, being independently minded is a great attribute for an American, okay? But not for a Christian, okay? Look at Philippians 2. Just introductory thoughts here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. The Bible says this, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be," what's the next phrase? "Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." That means we're not to be, don't let anything done. Don't cause strife, and don't let anything be done for your own glory. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we're to be like-minded. We're to have one mind. We're not to be mavericks, okay? The Bible clearly teaches the need of a local church community. It clearly makes the case for official membership, for actually covenanting together with a local body of believers. Look at Galatians. Go back two books. Make a left out of Philippians and go back two books to Galatians 6. Still introductory thoughts here. Galatians 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." Think about that terminology, household of faith. Okay? You are a member of your own family. Like it or not, you are a member of your family. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Okay? But remember, you know, you are a member of your own family, and God expects us to be a member of a local household of faith. Now, I want to read a quote here just before we get into the message. Read a quote from John MacArthur, and he says this: "The church must be a loving community The church must be a loving community that shares with one another. So often we think we've done our job if we've gone to church. We waltz into the building, sit down, listen, get back in our car, and go about our business. God help us if that's our perspective of what church should be. Just coming, listening, and leaving. That's not church. This is the body. This is the local body of Christ in this community. This is the local bride of Christ in this community. This is where and how we minister to this community. Now, this message will build upon messages we will have following this. But notice with me in Acts 2, if you would go back to Acts chapter 2, notice it says in verse 41 and in verse 47 that the same day there were added, and the Lord added to the church. Okay, that word added. So believers were added to the church. That word added, this is much more than just simple addition. Okay? It's not like 2 plus 2 equals 4. You know, it's much more than simple addition. But the word literally means becoming part of something. It becomes part of something. Thayer's dictionary, his Greek dictionary, he says that this word means to gather with a company. So what's being spoken of here is a local body, okay? And it's You know, if we think of sports, so a lot of folks are sports minded. You know, if you're added to the team, you're a part of that team. You become a part of that team. You're expected to play, to do your part as a member of the team. And here we see that they were added to the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay? We all have a body. Okay? Some of our bodies are different sizes and shapes and colors, and some bodies have less parts than others. Rich? And he didn't hear me. You know, some of us, you know, but we're one body, but our body is what? Made up of many parts. Okay? This is the body of Christ in the area. And this body of Christ is made up of many parts, many members. And this is how Christ works today. Christ works today through his body. Just as when he was here on earth some 2,000 years ago, he ministered to us through his body. So number one, believers were added to the church. Number two, and this I think is the most important point to this message this morning. Membership identifies the distinction that redemption creates. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you get to Thessalonians, you've gone too far. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now friends, prior to our coming to Christ, every one of us were living in darkness. And we were part of that kingdom, the kingdom and the domain of our arch enemy, the devil, who is Satan. That was our kingdom. And God, through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of his Son, took us from that kingdom and he redeemed us and placed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that word redemption has to do with purchase, a purchased possession. And that word redemption has to do with buying us from the slave market of sin. You and I were on the slave block in Satan's kingdom. And the Lord Jesus, with his own life, with his own blood, purchased us and gave us our freedom, our liberty, our salvation. He redeemed us. So can I say this, friends? Membership identifies the distinction that redemption creates. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was part of the kingdom of darkness, but now I'm a child of God in his kingdom. You see the distinction. And the New Testament word, let's remember that word again. The New Testament word for church is ecclesia, and it means a called out assembly. God has called us from the world unto himself. And redemption causes a distinction. Redemption creates a distinction between the saved and the unsaved, between the redeemed and the unredeemed. The cross separates the lost from the saved. The cross separates the world from the believer. Local church membership is one way this distinction is visible. It's clear. It's plain. After God redeemed his people, after God, back in the book of Exodus, don't turn there, but after God, on the night of the Passover, redeemed his people, he delivered them from the bondage and slavery of Egypt, of which, for us, spiritually, Egypt is a picture of the world. And the blood that was put on the doorpost of the house so that the angel of death would pass over, that blood, of course, is a picture of Christ, who the Bible says is our Passover. And when we were redeemed, just as Israel was redeemed from Egypt, we've been redeemed from the world. And one of the first things God did when he delivered his people, he numbered his people. You ever read through the book of Numbers? First few chapters are difficult, but they're there for a reason. He numbered the redeemed. Are you numbered with the redeemed? Now you may say, wait a minute, numbers don't matter. They must matter, because God numbered the children of Israel. And then we get to the book of Acts, and the first day of the church is what? Numbered. 3,000 souls. There's a distinction. There is a distinction. Look at what the Bible says, friends, about roles and books. And early church people knew the members that were getting saved and were adding. And if you look back in even church history, and I know church history is not where we get our doctrines from, but if you look back through church history, and if you have done any family research, where do people look often for that? Church membership roles. There is a movement lately amongst Christianity where we don't need to be members of a local church. We're all members of the universal church. Well, I have a problem with that, and I believe God has a problem with that too. Because this is the local assembly that God has placed you in. Now, membership is a meaningful commitment. Point number three, Acts 2, 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls, and they continued what? Steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. Your commitment, we need to make a commitment to live, to believe and to live biblically. I need to make a commitment, once I come to know Christ as my Savior, to live biblically. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. After Hebrews is James, after James is 1 and 2 Peter. If you get to John's epistles, you've gone too far. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, what does it mean to be holy? Does that mean that all of a sudden I'm walking around, and if someone takes a picture of me, there's this glowing light over my head. Wow, he's a holy guy. No. What does being holy mean? Well, now I'm wearing a suit. No. Being holy means that we are set apart. Think about that. We are set apart. God is holy. He is set apart from sinners. He is set apart from us. He is in the heavens. Yes, he's everywhere present, but he is in the heavens. He's high. He's lifted up. He's holy. He's separate from sinners. And God says, because he's holy, he wants his people to be holy, to be set apart, to be set apart from the world. And friends, it's our membership is a meaningful commitment that we're going to commit to believe and live biblically. And in our church's documents, we have a covenant. And in that covenant, we covenant together, one with another, to do the best that we can. We're all sinners saved by grace, but we're all children of God, and we all covenant together to help each other to live this Christian life. Now, I want to illustrate this point. The point of membership is a meaningful commitment. Remember one of the things we learned when we were identifying the church? One of the things we learned is we are the bride of Christ. Okay? What does that imply? If we are the bride of Christ, that means we are then married to Christ. Correct? He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. We're his bride. Think of the commitment he made to us. Think of his, as we went through that, when we looked at the bride of Christ, our being the bride of Christ, and how we talked about the first century Jewish wedding and the betrothal period and the groom going off to prepare a house, right? And when the house was ready, he would come for his bride. But in that was the dowry, and the dowry was a price that was paid. And think of the price the Lord Jesus paid for his bride, to purchase his bride. Think of the commitment he made for us. What kind of commitment should we make to him? Be ye holy, as I am holy. Now, friends, I'm speaking to a church congregation, but what do you think of folks, and I don't want you to answer this question out loud, but what do you think of folks who live together without being married? Sadly, this is culturally and socially accepted in our land today. But people who live together without the commitment of marriage, they enjoy most of the benefits of married life without the commitment. They share a house or an apartment. They share the bills. They share the chores. They share a bed together. And some even have children together. But ultimately, there is no commitment. Think of the vows you made when you were married to love, honor, and cherish, to place your spouse above all others, to cherish them, to love them in sickness and in health, till death do you part. That's commitment. But there's no commitment if you just live together. Ultimately, there's no commitment. And friends, I believe that this is what it's like with folks who have attended a church for a while and do not join. They enjoy much of the benefits of membership without effort, risk, or cost. Nothing binding them to the congregation. Membership is important for a meaningful commitment. And then the fourth and last point, and each one of these points we will build on in coming messages. Membership facilitates ministry. Point number one. Membership facilitates ministry. I can't even say that word, facilitates. In our church, Hill Village Bible Church, in the Constitution and bylaws that were written long before any of us were here, you can't have a ministry without being a member. Membership ministry. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 12. Verse 11, he talks about the gift of the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or building up of itself in love. The work of the ministry is not done by the pastoral staff. The work of the ministry is done by everybody. Every minister, every member. If you rely on the pastor, and here we're blessed to have three pastors, if you rely on the work of the ministry being done by three pastors, it will never get done. It will never be done correctly. It will never be done biblically. And you know us three, it will never be done. But we need all hands on deck. And God then works in unifying us. And you know, we've been highlighting ministries here in the church, and I think it was last week we highlighted the young adults. And today we saw a little bit of fruit of the young adults ministry. And it's the young adults who's ministering to the kids this summer so that the Master Club folks can have a little bit of time off. And you know, every member ministering. That's what God wants us to do. Look at 1 Corinthians. Turn back. Make a left out of Ephesians and turn back to 1 Corinthians 16. Last chapter in the book. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and how they have what? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now that word addicted there, you know, it means different than what we use today, but that word addicted means to arrange in an orderly manner. So their life was arranged in accordance to the ministry. I spoke with somebody over the last few weeks and they told me that they were from Massachusetts. And I asked, why did you move up to New Hampshire? And in saying they moved up to New Hampshire, they wanted to get out of Massachusetts, like many people do. If you're from Massachusetts, I'm sorry, and maybe or maybe not, but anyway. But I'm from New Jersey, so I understand. But anyway, this family moved up here, and The interesting thing they said was they first found a church and they wanted to live within close proximity of that church. So they found a church before they found a house, before they found a job. Isn't that interesting? Addicted themselves to the ministry. And that's the idea here. So ministry facilitates, membership facilitates ministry, and there'll be more on this in another message. Membership facilitates discipline. Church discipline makes no sense without church membership. Because how can you be reconciled to a body you're not part of? Or, God forbid, which is not the purpose of church discipline, the purpose of church discipline all the way through is always reconciliation. But if reconciliation cannot happen, how does expelling a member make sense if they're not a member? 1 Corinthians 5. And again, we're going to have messages geared with this in particular. But 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12 says, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." So Paul is saying here, and we'll get into greater detail here, that this person did not respond to church discipline. So Paul said, rid yourself of him. And if you're not a member of the church, how can you be disciplined? So church discipline, membership facilitates church discipline. Church discipline makes no sense if there's no membership. And there'll be more on that later. And then the last point under here, membership facilitates accountability. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews is before James, after 1 and 2 Timothy. Hebrews 13, 17. Accountability. Membership facilitates accountability to the leadership of the church. Hebrews 13, 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you." So, again, when we go back to Ephesians 4, which we looked at, everybody here, every member has a ministry. And my ministry that God has given me here in Hill Village Bible Church is to be the pastor. And there is a certain responsibility that comes with being that a pastor. And the reason I preach is so that not that you obey me or submit to me, but you obey and submit to the teachings of the Lord. Why? For they watch for your souls. We have to give an account for this. We want to do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. So accountability to church leadership makes no sense without membership. But yet we're also accountable to one another. Look at Galatians 5, last verse of the day. Galatians 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Did I ever tell you the acrostic I used, how to remember that? Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Some people say go eat popcorn, but I like Gentiles eat pork chops. But anyway, I don't know why that just popped into my mind. But Galatians 5:13. It would help me to turn to Galatians. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve what? One another. That's a wonderful study if you've ever done that on your own. All the one another's of the Bible. But we're to serve one another. And membership facilitates this. So friends, church membership is not a club. We often joke when somebody joins a church. Now we'll tell you about the initiation. There is no initiation. But church membership, friends, it's not a club. Sadly, in some churches, it's viewed that way. But it's not a club. It's a membership. Membership, it's about ministry. Church membership is a commitment to the Lord and to one another. It's our ministering to each other. It's you ministering to me. It's me ministering to you. It's all of us ministering to each other. Church membership is a commitment to the Lord and one another. Non-membership is irresponsible and disobedient. Membership is necessary for the purity and ministries of the church. Purity because of discipline and reconciliation and to the ministries of the church. We're going to talk about a lot of things in the future that will hinge on this. But friends, just think about membership for a moment and think about our church constitution and think about our covenant together. If the church were to call another pastor, a non-member has no say in who that pastor is. If the church wanted to vote on a new missionary, the non-member has no say in who those missionaries are. The budget, whatever, on and on we can go. Some things not so significant, but other things very significant. Membership is important because it shows a commitment. And it shows to the world, you know, we've been redeemed. It shows that distinction. And I trust and I hope and I pray that for those of you who have been coming for a while, you choose to join as members. And I know some of you folks are new here, and some of you are still exploring, and I understand that, and that needs to be a part of it. But there needs to come a point where you commit to a local church that you're going to be a part of that body officially and make that commitment to not only the Lord, but to the members of the church. For this brings honor and glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us. Father, we realize the commitment that you have made to us. And we realize, Lord, the price that you paid to redeem us. And you bought us out of the slave market of sin. And you purchased us. And you translated us into the kingdom of your Son. And Lord, we are your purchased bride. So help us to make our vow, to make our commitment to our bridegroom and to others who make up the body of Christ. Lord, I pray for anyone that's here that may not be a member of the church and has been coming. I thank you for each of them. But I pray, Lord, that they would make the commitment to be a member with us so that we could minister together and make that commitment together and seek to bring honor and glory to you. Do a work, Lord, that only you can do, and we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.